Right now we've got Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger here in the studio.
Hello.
Second time today we've seen each other.
Busy day.
Really busy day after the annual meeting this morning, and now we're here in the afternoon, and my day goes on until 7. How about yours?
Yeah, about 9. There's always
Never
evening.
Ask the mayor, never no, challenge the mayor to a busy off.
It's been a fascinating week. I said, what day is it? Because we just kind of rolled through the weekend with activities as well. So, it was a great chamber meeting this morning. Mm-hmm. President Spelling spoke to us about education being the American dream and making that available to more young people in our state. I did ask about our older citizens and how they could connect and continue their educated learning on campuses.
Yeah, that was a really good question, because you talked about, you know, Duke does this and UNC could do more of this, just sort of open events that, you know, professors, grad students, people who do so much great research on campus
it's
can share their learning
and
people can come and watch
and our
it.
Citizens are curious, and we have a lot of lifelong learners here, so I'd love to see more of that interaction. We're talking about partnering more with cultural events as well, so I'm hopeful to see some work going forward on that. And then we did honor our own Police Chief Chris Blue.
That was very cool.
He received the Duke Power Citizenship and Service Award. Much deserved.
Wonderful.
It makes us all feel safe and takes care of things. And I said, if you want anyone in charge of a big event, you can look to Chris.
I remember talking with Robert Campbell, who was up until the start of this year, I think the president of the Chapel Hill Carver NAACP. And as much tension as there is and has been between police and African Americans in particular, all across the country, I asked Reverend Campbell, what is the state of that relationship here locally? And it was nothing but just 2 minutes of just effusive praise for the Chapel Hill police, the way they conduct. There's still problems. I mean, there are still racial disparities. We're aware of them. We're trying to address them. We need to be doing more. But just the commitment to having that conversation,
to having
sitting
the
down with people and making
And to listening. You know, hearing it through someone else's perspective is something Chief Blue does really, really well. And then we try to make sure that they uphold the values that we hold dear in Chapel Hill, and they take it very personally. Yeah. I get to go to the swearing-in ceremonies, the promotional, the oaths they swear. They are here to uphold the value system that we have asked them to do, and they do a really good job of
that. And it's particularly important now that we've got so much pressure coming from state and federal officials to do it some other way that we don't want to, because we know it works better the way we do it.
Yes, we do know that.
This is why the crime rate has been dropping for 30 years.
We are leading by example.
Yes.
So that's
We really are the shining city on the hill now.
Yay.
Stealing Reagan's line and using it for us, because they're not using it anymore.
Well, I'm going to switch you out of the thing back to the... I'm going to just say more than three cheers for
Four
the
cheers.
Chinese New Year Lantern Festival here.
Oh, yes. That was so much fun.
Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. What was so amazing to me is the bigness, first of all, but how well they did. This was a first time event, and a shout out to Wen At Chen and the Chinese School of Chapel Hill, U Place for letting it happen here, the Visitors Bureau for being engaged, our Parks and Rec Department for being engaged, all the sponsors. But what was really heartwarming that Huna said to me, that seeing other families who were not Chinese come out and partake and connect and be part of this cultural exchange was just, we've had guests from 5 to 10,000. I didn't count heads, but it was amazing here. The food, the festive dance, the making of lanterns,
the
art.
The dragon dance. Did you see that?
Yeah. And the dragon
so
parade
cool.
that I got
yes,
to lead.
Yeah.
I never knew I'd get to lead a
I
dragon
was sitting
parade.
There, I was sitting, if you look out the window of the studio where we're sitting in, there's the window that looks out in the parking lot. There's another window that looks out into the newsroom. And I was sitting in the seat just on the opposite side of that window, just doing work. And I look up and just sort of vaguely reflected in that window is this like dragon walking by. I'm like, what is going Oh, it's the dragon parade.
It was
fun. So cool.
It was just fun. We went by all the gym over
packed,
there. People stopped and looked at us like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It was truly, truly an amazing event. And we're looking forward to building on that for next year. We'll have to see how many people we can fit into the mall then.
Yeah. We could, that could be, the mall is a big, big place, and it was packed.
We could have it in
an even bigger place.
Yes. Yeah. And so we'll be figuring all that. Everyone needs a little bit of time to decompress. And you come back and figure out what worked well, what you need to tweak, and I'm sure you'll see it again, because it was a really exciting event.
Yep.
We had our council retreat this past weekend about updating our strategic plan and how we work together and thinking forward and how we build on the Chapel Hill 2020 process as far as do those ideals still work? How are we going to implement things that we know that need tweaking? And so that was it. That was an interesting weekend as well. And then we have our economic sustainability meeting tomorrow morning, and we're continuing to learn more about innovation. The Maker event was also this past Saturday. Again, an overwhelming response. You and I had that Maker talk last time. But now we're looking towards entrepreneurs and innovators to come together to figure out how we build that next accelerator phase and how we do it as a collaborative between community, university, and private business people. So we're going to figure all that out. We have a work session this Wednesday where we're talking about the Ephesus Fordham walkability and civic space, what that looks like, what that feels like. The staff's come back with some plans, and so it'll be a good work session. So no meeting on Monday night, business meeting, work session on Wednesday, and then the following Monday we start back with our Monday meeting.
Is there a public hearing coming up?
That one will be the following Monday, okay. So I have to get my dates order here. Yes.
All right.
Rolling right along with all that.
A lot of stuff coming up. So no meeting on Monday, and then meetings every other day
of
February. Yeah. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. So what came out of their retreat? This was 2 days over this past weekend. What came out of it that we'll be seeing going forward?
So the staff will come back at a work session with ideas explored by the council members on how we plan our planning process. What does that look like? What goals are we trying to achieve? Where are we going? We have some goals that we approved a couple years ago. Are those still, where are we? How do we gauge that? How do we have deliverables that we can measure and what that looks like? Mm-hmm. So it'll come back. So mostly it's brainstorming and talking and then coming back with some actual, the manager's office comes back with an actual path to get there.
All right. Sounds good. Again, Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and before we let you go, I wanted to get back to an event that just took place. Speaking of the values of our community and trying to uphold them against pressure coming down from above, where was a really significant panel on immigration.
It was last night at UNC and Student Union. It was actually very, very helpful. I think we all need to be informed about what's going on. I will say, though, it makes you, it's hard to hear. We learned a lot about immigration status and different kinds of visas and what has transpired and what your level is. And there's several members of our community that are both here in our community, but also at the university who are here from those seven countries. But just in general, the different types of visas and the difference in status and whether you're a refugee or whether you're visiting for whatever reasons, work, education, and how the laws have changed, but mostly how the executive orders override the laws. And that was interesting. Unfortunately, executive orders are interpreted different ways at different places, and that makes it a little difficult as well. And so the basic guidelines were, if you have questions and you are part of the university community, they want to help you find the answers to those questions. If you're part of our community and you need help, we have someone willing to help figure out what those answers are as well. There are immigration attorneys in our community that are also ready to help. But the basic tenor was, if you're from one of those seven countries and you're here on some kind of visa, the recommendation was not to travel specifically. Don't leave our country, because we don't know what's coming down the pike for further executive order changes. But also be careful when you're traveling within our country, just thinking about it. Just make sure to not put yourself at risk.
Is there a commitment from the university? And I know there were a couple people from UNC that mm-hmm. were there speaking last night. Is there a commitment from the university to not just tell people what they should be doing if they're caught up in this, but to speak out on behalf of those people?
They were trying. It's just really kind of an interesting... all the police, all the law enforcement that was represented last night and the district attorney say they never use immigration as part of how they do their jobs. They mm-hmm. never ask. That's not part. But if you do get arrested for something or held that your information is put in the system, and the ICE can come and take a look at that system at any time, and they do from time to time, but we don't voluntarily put that out there. So universities aren't volunteering putting any information out there. They are advocating for their employees and students who, there's a faculty member in one of those countries trying to come home. He will be home soon to work that thing, just to make sure people are informed on the choices they make. But it was more just informational last night and mm-hmm. reassuring people that there are paths to figure out answers.
Right.
It's a change.
It's a
So
and it's not enough just to tell people, well, I guess you just can't go anywhere then, because like that's the problem with the executive order in the first place, is it puts people in exactly that situation.
I was reading today, too, about all the disruption on the airlines. They weren't prepared for this. They are afraid of being sued by people who were planning on traveling here for business opportunities and all those kinds of things that already paid for their tickets, all that kind of thing. And this order was implemented without any warning, without any forethought to the repercussions coming in. So I'm hopeful we'll see some tweaking of that and not any more of these coming down like that. But, you know, we don't know. And then state level, we're in for a long, we had our legislative breakfast this past week with our representatives, and their words were that we're going to be having a long session.
Okay.
But that there is a lot of interest in repealing HB2, so we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk going on about that. And then mostly it's about budget and where we're going and different, you know, the Medicaid expansion and that balancing between a Democratic governor and a Republican-led legislature should make it for an interesting longer year.
All right. So are they anticipating it being a long, long session?
Yes,
I know there was some talk about if there's a special election in 2017, legislators will want to leave early.
So that's true. But right, the way it's looking right now, unless something significantly changes, it's probably unlikely to have. I'm not betting either way, because we always get these twists and turns in the last couple of years that we can't predict. But right now, because of the pending lawsuit and the appeal and all that, we're not sure that we'll actually have a special election. So yes, if we had a special election, I think you would see things wrap up and people leave early. But I don't know that we're going to see that or not.
Okay, that's kind of just up to the Supreme Court. If they take the case, then we won't. And if they don't take the case, then that lower court decision stands and we
Correct.
Have to, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting times,
Aaron.
I'll
add that to the list of things to keep following.
I say, when people ask me what the most surprising part of this job is that you have to pay such close attention all the time, 24/7, to state and shoes. It's
yes.
amazing.
Yeah.
I know they affect us, but I keep reminding our citizens, we are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We stand up. This community welcomes everyone. We stand up for our values, and we will fight the good fight if necessary. I love the people came out to protest on Sunday. We want to see people write, and people are asking us what you can do. Again, we say, write your representatives, write any representatives, just make your voice heard.
Write them, call them, talk to them, keep speaking out, keep speaking and fighting back. And
if this isn't a lesson for always exercise your right to vote,
right to vote, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Only half of 18 to 25-year-olds voted.
Yeah.
Half.
Yeah.
Come on, the other half.
I'm thinking that number is probably going to go up
come
2020,
one way or the other. One can hope. Hey, I'm hoping it'll go up in 17 or 18.
In 17 or 18, right. Yeah,
I'm not waiting
absolutely.
To 2020, Aaron. We need to vote now.
This is the important thing, too, because, I mean, as scared as people on the left are of what Donald Trump is doing, you know that, you know, 8 years ago, at pretty much exactly this time, people on the right were looking at what the left was doing after that sweep election in 2008 and saying, we need to do something about this. And they did. And what they did was they got out, they spoke out, they protested, they demonstrated, they kept pressing their legislators as much as humanly possible, and they got organized. And it was the pressing of the legislatures and the organization and the getting out there and speaking. It moved the dial in Washington. It changed the nature of political discourse, and eventually it led to electoral victory. And it only took 2 years for that to happen. So
show up, stand up,
show up, stand up, speak up. Absolutely.
Gotta do it. We gotta do it.
Pam Hemminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.